Okay, first time flyers, hold on tight. Appa, yip yip.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
From the ancient Yip Yip podcast, I am Illyrio.
And I'm Jamie.
You are not in a time machine. We're recording again. And today, we're going to be talking about a couple of wonderful episodes. First of which is Bato of the Water Tribe, and then we're going to follow that up with The Deserter.
You know what? That's supposed to be Balto.
Balto?
I thought it was Balto.
Oh, it's Bato.
Is it Bato?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
Sokka says Bato.
Okay. Well, why do I have? I don't know.
Balto.
It's probably me. I'm having a brain.
Maybe. It's been so long. We're rusty. We're rusty talking about Avatar.
That's what's going on. I'm sorry.
It's all good. So let's get into it. I'm going to read the synopsis, and then we're going to get into Bato of the Water Tribe. So, Book 1, Chapter 15. Sokka and Katara. Illyrio literally reading what's on his screen. I will read anything. Go fuck yourself, San Diego. I'm going to have to edit that out. Okay, so. Book 1, Chapter 15. Sokka and Katara meet a friend of their father who offers to take them to join the Water Tribe's Navy. Aang fears his friends will choose seeing their father again over staying with him. Alright, so. Aang's a little poophead.
Yeah, he's I think he's felt like he's got a hold of, he's got sort of a close-knit group now.
Withholding the map and the message? Really, Avatar? I mean, I know he's 12 and it's supposed to be, you know, a journey of growth and maturation and all this stuff.
Right.
But wow. I was shocked. You want to talk about surprise me? I was shocked that Aang gets that message, sees what it is, and then hides it.
Yeah, and you could tell he felt bad for that, too.
Well, I know, but then you get comic relief from his reactions, and I'm like, I don't want to laugh at this. This is terrible. Yeah. This is the worst thing he could have done. Sokka as a little warrior in his flashback was adorable.
Yeah.
That was really great. And as soon as Bato comes along, Aang, of course, who's 12, he needs to be the center of attention. But no, it's all Water Tribe stories. It's all Water Tribe stories. You're just going to have to sit there and eat your really disgusting tasting soup.
Yep, sea prunes.
Sea prunes. Mmm.
I'll pass.
Apart from the Aang stuff, this sees the introduction of a new character. Now, Did they give her a name in this episode? Because I think I missed it.
June.
Her name is June?
Yes.
June is badass.
Yes.
Very strong female character. Incredibly surly and Wild West, you know, like strutting her stuff type of character. With the whole, what is that, a giant mongoose?
It's a shearshu.
It's a shearshu? It looks like a giant mongoose to me.
It's a wolf, bull. Part wolf, part mole, part anteater.
Oh, yes, with the mole, the blindness of the mole.
Yes.
And the tongue of the anteater with a paralyzing tongue strike.
Yes.
Love it. And she gives Zuko a piece of her mind. And yes. Iroh is incredibly enamored with her.
Yes, he
which
is.
Which I think is just lovely. I think it's hilarious. And she's arm wrestling dudes and buying people drinks. Holding a giant pile of cash and telling Zuko that she's short on money, so she can't pay for repairs on his ship.
Which they tore all to pieces looking for a stowaway. Yes,
for a stowaway. Yeah. So this shearshu creature sees with its nose.
Yes.
And the foreshadowing of Zuko having Katara's necklace finally comes to fruition, and he holds the necklace up to the Shirshu's nose and says, "Find this scent." And then we go on a basic, old-timey prison movie where the prisoners don't know that the hounds are chasing them. And the Shirshu can carry three people, or three and a half people, if, you know, Iroh's weight is to be believed with regards to what June says about it. I really enjoyed what, what she said to him about the weight in gold. I thought that was pretty cool. And there was something that happened in this episode with regards to Aang and Bato and Katara and Sokka that I thought was just a little too cliched, which is they start talking about how maybe they should go with Bato to the Water Tribe and to the Water Navy. And right before they say, well, actually, we should probably stay with Aang. This is what we're supposed to do. Aang walks out.
Right.
It's your typical, you know, sitcom trope where people have misunderstandings. It's like, right, I was watching an episode of Three's Company. But no, Janet, if you only stayed in the room, you would have understood what Jack was saying. And I was yelling at Aang, no, Aang! You should have eavesdropped for the whole thing. Oh, man. But yeah, there was lots of Aang feeling abandoned, like he's going to be on his own, which, you know, it's got to be rough for him. He was just recently unfrozen from a giant ball of ice.
Yeah, and that's what I think, why he maybe acted that way. Does it justify it? No.
No.
But, you know, he feels like he's got some sense of belonging, yeah, and now it's all going to be ripped away from him. So I could sort of give him a pardon on that a little bit, because, I mean, it's, you know,
I'm not as forgiving as them. I would have given him a timeout. Like a really long timeout, like another 100 years.
Just sit in the corner.
You sit on this chair for another 100 years, and you think about what you did. I thought the ice dodging was pretty neat.
Yeah.
The little rock dodging. I think it really helped us see Sokka's strong side. Especially later on as well, we get to see Sokka has a bit of a knack for strategy and forward thinking and planning ahead. And I think maybe in an episode or two, or in an episode, depending on what episodes you have access to, you'll actually get to see Sokka actually show off that he actually has some brains. So that whole Aang, make sure we have wind of the sails, Katara, bend as much water as you can, getting over those really nasty, sharp rocks, was very nice. It was very cool. And then, when the Shirshu shows up, I like that the Shirshu passed by other places that we've been with our heroes.
Yes.
And I thought it was very funny how the old lady...
Aunt May.
Yeah, and the old lady with the cat was hoping the cat wasn't in trouble again with the Fire Nation. I thought that was really great. And we finally got an epic battle between Zuko and Aang.
Yes.
It was fantastic.
It was. I mean, and that's the one thing I liked about this, and it kind of, based off the DVDs, because when I got the original DVDs, they were some little, I guess, snippets with the guy who they based off, who helped them kind of work the karate, you know, the martial arts and stuff. And the whole airbender thing is based off of movement. So that's why in this one you saw a very good example of Aang constantly moving and keeping his hands in front of him and keeping Zuko at bay. Awesome demonstration of that technique that this is all based off of.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very good, especially that near the end with the well and all the water being pushed out and rain covering Aang. It's like he's an immature little 12-year-old brat, and then he turns into a martial arts god with all the serenity and wisdom that would come along with something like that, you know.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting juxtaposition, you know. It's weird to have these two kind of dueling aspects to someone's personality exist in the same body. Yeah. But I was thoroughly entertained by that entire scene.
Yeah, and some and part of that scene too that was really cool was Appa.
Yeah,
doing his thing. You know, headbutting.
Appa can move when he wants to.
Oh yes, he can. Mm-hmm. And he can headbutt with the best.
Yeah, that was some pretty nice moves there by the flying bison.
And it took several strikes by the Shirshu's tongue to finally take him down.
Knock him down, yeah.
So.
I must say. So I'm... I really like this episode, I have to say.
Yes.
What I didn't like and what surprised me the most, I think, were Aang's reaction to the map. I think they're both the same thing for me. I was disappointed and... like on a personal level, and I was also very shocked that they would go that route. And I think my favorite bit was the interactions between Iroh and Zuko and Jun. I really enjoyed that bit a lot. Right. And one more thing I want to say, I remember the first time I watched this, and when I watched it just for a recording, I still had the feeling that this Beto guy was dodgy. My instant reaction to them finding someone from their water tribe was, he's probably a traitor, and then he's going to betray them. You know, like, why would he be left alone? And I didn't buy the whole, you know, being injured thing right away. So, I don't know, I just kind of had this, I was very suspicious of him right from the very beginning. And I was kind of expecting them to have an episode where they would be trusting of someone that they knew, and then they would be betrayed. But it was something entirely different, because they were trusting of someone they knew, and they were betrayed.
Right.
By Aang. And then, you know, they forgave him.
Well, that was my not-so-good in surprise, was Aang's emotional struggle, and hiding the map from everybody.
Yeah.
But I think the one thing I liked about the episode is you see everybody grow up a little bit.
Yes, you do. Definitely do.
And it kind of, you know, everybody's taking, you know, you kind of can see where things are heading now. I mean, it's, I'm enjoying it. Mm-hmm. I still enjoy it.
Yeah. Absolutely. But,
so, well, out of the four elements, how many did you give
this? I'd give it a solid 3.
Same here.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the battles, and I'm a big fan of the, two different geographical locations turning into one. I really like the Shirshu basically retracing the steps of our heroes, and we meet up with a couple of people again. I thoroughly enjoyed Iroh's interactions. I thought the whole Aang being so selfish and short-sighted to keep the map was weird to the point of probably not even believable.
Right.
Yeah, that was the one, you know, it was, I don't think that character would actually do that. I know he's 12, but meh, I'm not so sure.
Right.
But yeah, I'd give it a solid 3.
Yeah.
Awesome.
A couple of quotes that kind of jumped out at me.
Yeah.
One is when they were kind of talking about, I think right before they were doing the ice dodging or rock dodging, you know, he looks and says, "And Aang, you're about trust." And Aang's like, "I know about trust. I'm the Avatar." And Sokka's saying, "How stupid do you think I am?" And Kartara's like, "Pretty stupid."
Yeah, Zuko's saying, "Yeah, it was Zuko saying, 'How stupid do you think I am?'" And I think Sokka said, "Pretty stupid, actually." And they try to run away. I only wrote down one because I thought it was brilliant. When Sokka was telling his really dumb joke about, you know, maybe we should give some perfume to Appa because he really stinks, and everybody's quiet, and then Bato says, "You have your father's wit."
Yes.
Which I thought was just awesome. Little jab.
Oh, I had the one last one here. It was says, "Uncle, I didn't see you get hit by the tongue." And he goes, "Shh."
What a lecherous old man.
Yes.
And the poor girl was paralyzed. The look on her face said everything, though. Oh, it was great. Oh, and I really enjoyed the whole, "I think I'm starting to get some feeling back." And then he gets all that debris tossed on him. Ow.
Ow.
Yeah, that scene reminded me, of course, of Princess Bride. When Wesley was trying to still, like, have his full strength from being dead.
Right.
And they just all very limp. I thought that was pretty funny. All right, so next up is Chapter 16, The Deserter.
Yes.
When he meets an outcast from the Fire Nation, Aang is impatient to skip ahead in his training. Yeah, that's an understatement.
Just a little.
Hey, I'm the best. I'm so awesome. Oh no, I burned my friend. Really? Ugh.
It really
Aang. Why do I expect so much from Aang, Jamie?
Right.
Why do I expect so much from him? Because he is just a 12-year-old stupid-headed child sometimes, right? He doesn't know better. But I expect so much more from him because he's the Avatar.
And of all people, he should know he can't learn them. He can't learn the stuff out of order.
Which, so I don't know if I'm like getting frustrated at this kind of contradictory stuff, or if I just don't have any patience for little kids these days. I don't know. Children debating their bedtime is making me biased against Aang.
I would have to agree with that because I have a 9-year-old and he thinks he's 29 years old and. Don't quite work that way.
No, it doesn't. I don't care if you have been frozen in an iceberg for 100 years.
But
why do I expect so much from Aang? In the previous episode, I was super disappointed that he hid the map. And now I'm like, expected him to actually pay close attention. But maybe it's because we were shown that he was a bit serene.
Yeah.
That he has this kind of potential. So we're kind of... I'm expecting him to be super cool all the time, and he really wasn't.
No, but like you said earlier, it kind of plays back to the fact that he is a 12-year-old kid. Child.
Yeah.
Granted, he's been frozen for 100 years, but still, he's still 12,
Yes.
So
our friends are in the woods, they're hungry, they see that there's going to be a fire festival in a village, in a Fire Nation village, and they also see a wanted poster for Aang. I also saw a wanted poster for somebody else.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The Blue Spirit?
Mr. Blue Spirit,
yeah. Uh-huh. Mm. Yeah, and so Aang, of course, figures he would disguise himself, and they serendipitously find someone selling official Fire Festival masks, which is awesome.
And I like how Katara had to switch the mask, because...
Yeah.
More to fit the mood of the person.
Yes, exactly. there's a magic show. Aang wants to... Basically, Aang is desperate to learn firebending. I guess because he's bored. No, he's trying to find the opportune moment to learn firebending. Figures he might be able to learn something by just watching people.
Right. At
the Fire Festival. And then... because they're so good at leaving before trouble starts, they get discovered and they get rescued or helped out of town by a crazy person.
Yes, and I forgot his name.
It doesn't matter. He was McCrazy. he was Mr. Yeah, this guy's a genius. What was the deserter's name again? Song Song?
It's Zhang Zhang.
Zhang Zhang. Yeah. Zhang Zhang is a genius. He's different. He's special. Like, okay. Crazy town. I didn't know they had crack these days. But yeah, it was quite interesting. And they show up and it's like the guy nobody likes to spend time with. It was the guy that rescued them.
He's like, well, everybody else is normal. I'm the sixth person that done this.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. And Zhang Zhang is reformed Fire Nation.
I think, yeah, the way I always took it, even back watching it the first time, he's one that just kind of like, he's proud of his heritage, but he just didn't agree with how things were going, so yeah. He abandoned everything.
Yeah.
And, and kind of went off to do his own thing. So,
absolutely. I especially liked Aang barging in, and then when Zhang Zhang was like, no, I'm not going to teach you, Avatar Roku decides to make an entrance.
Yes, he did. So
you're gonna have to teach him now. Which I thought was interesting. I thought it was a little weird. Now, was it Aang doing that, or was that just Avatar Roku communicating with Zhang Zhang directly?
I think that was Avatar Roku doing it directly.
Because Aang did seem surprised afterwards, too. When Zhang Zhang changed his mind.
Right.
Yeah. And when Zhang Zhang mentioned his student, did you know who he meant right away? Did you have a suspicion the first time you watched it?
No.
No? I pretty much figured out it was Zhao.
Because
they'd shown Zhao in the previously on and also at the village.
Yeah.
So I was like, I bet it's going to be Zhao.
I'll say I was about 50-50 on it. I kind of felt that way, but I just didn't want to, you know, push all my chips in.
No, I know what you mean. So. But it was definitely it was definitely on my mind that it might be Zhao. And this, Zhang Zhang comes from the Mr. Miyagi school of training martial arts. Paint the fence. Wax the floor.
Breathe.
But when am I going to teach? When are you going to teach me karate? Paint the fence. Wax the car. And all of a sudden, he gets trained. So, Aang burning Katara was weird. I don't know how to feel about that. It was upsetting, but at the same time, I mean, why was she standing so close to a guy playing with fire, or is that just me? Was she not that close at all?
She was probably closer than what she should have been. I mean, because to me, it's almost like she was across the, you know, within a couple feet of him.
Yeah, but though he was in water, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Okay, but he was like on a bit of a stone, just a couple feet offshore.
Right,
and she was on the shore. Well, I must say, I was very surprised with Aang hurting her. I didn't see that coming at all. I didn't think that was going to happen at all. But, I mean, it makes total sense when you watch the rest of the episode, right? Aang has to learn about how fire is, in fact, something that requires lots of discipline because it is alive. You know, just like Zhang Zhang said, it's alive. And if you don't control it, it'll burn everything in its path. And I think that helped him defeat Zhao in the end.
That was probably my favorite part of this whole episode. Just that was how awesome. He knew he was hot-headed and then used it against him to basically burn down his fleet.
Yeah, which is fantastic. See, these are the moments where Aang is my favorite.
Right? Yeah,
like I agree. Aang is the best. Aang is so smart. He is so wise. He thinks. He acts. It's not, you know, childish at all. There's not a single bit of childish behavior in what he did there with Zhao. Right. Nothing. And then there are moments where you're just like, really? But you're so not childlike in other aspects. But yeah, him getting Zhao to destroy his own little fleet was fantastic.
And that might play into the fact of where he has contact with the previous Avatar in him. And maybe that's when he acts the wisest.
Maybe.
And then when he's acting like a kid, it's when he's not tapped into it type deal. Mm-hmm. I mean.
So what did you like the best out of this one?
Just that fight. I mean, that fight was just awesome. And then I guess I can say my sort of surprise moment was when Avatar Roku made his appearance and like, you will do this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah. my favorite part, I believe, has got to be the fight between Zhao and Aang.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely, hands down, excellent. Especially the way Aang kept poking the bear and giving him a hard time and trying to make him more angry. I just think it was awesome.
Yeah,
Anything surprising for you in this episode?
Just the Avatar Roku. That was
kind of like
I didn't see that coming. The way you did too, because I don't know. It's just for me to go back and I really try to remember my initial feeling, but it's been so long. Unfortunately, my memory don't always recollect the way it's supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I do remember some of the things, and this one here is just going back and watching it. I mean, I was just in, you know, enthralled by the whole thing. I just couldn't get enough of it. I mean, when I first found the series, I went back and they were when they were selling four or so episodes at a time.
Okay.
And every time they came out, I was going to buy one because I had to know what happened next. Yeah. And, you know, and then I got called up to where I was watching it live and couldn't wait for the next week to show up to see what was going to happen. So
absolutely. Yeah. So what surprised me was Zhang Zhang disappearing at the end. I was kind of hoping Zhang Zhang and Aang would actually spend more time together, with Aang learning more. I was surprised with Zhang Zhang's departure. You know what I mean? So
hopefully, I'm trying to figure out how to say this without.
Hopefully, that he might come back in the future. I would really like that.
That's a possibility.
That would be awesome if that's true, because I thought that was very short-lived. I thought they could have done a lot more with that, and I hope they do. And anything you didn't like, Jamie?
This Aang playing with fire, and you know Katara getting burnt, and Sokka being upset. I mean, he's that typical big brother. You hurt my sister. Yeah. I'm now pissed at you for doing that. So I mean, that was the part that kind of just that's what took it from being a solid 4,
yeah,
for me to a 3.5.
Interesting. I'm almost right with you there. What bothered me was actually Sokka's reaction. I thought it was overboard. As if Aang did it on purpose, you know? Of course it was an accident. So I don't know. I didn't like that part about it. Yeah, so you're saying it's a 3.5, are you?
Yeah, 3.5.
I think I'll give it a 3.5 as well. I really liked it. I liked it a lot. I liked the look at the Fire Nation village. And a little puppet show I thought was great.
Yeah.
And I like Zhao being all attempting to be a big shot. And Aang just showing it to him, which leads me to my quote, if I may.
All right, go ahead.
I don't know why, but I thought you would be better than Zuko. Which is awesome! Zing! Zing, Zhao! Zing!
I just had the one, and it's like, I believe it was Sokka. I was like, where can we buy, where can we get mask at? And the guy, get your Fire Festival mask right here.
Right here.
Well, that was easy enough.
Yeah. Or the other one I have down is, we'll wear disguises, and if it looks like trouble, we'll leave. Yeah, because we always leave before we get into trouble. Oh, Sokka. You do have your father's wit. that's awesome. What are we going to be talking about next time, Jamie?
Next time we will be discussing the Northern Air Temple and the Waterbending Master.
Awesome. Folks, if you want to send us some feedback, you can send us some feedback at yipyipodcast@gmail.com.
Yes.
And as such, you can feel free to drop us a line there. Do we have a phone number, Jamie?
Yes, it is 704-765- Aang, which is 704.
Yeah.
Yeah. 704-765-2264.
Awesome.
I believe we have some feedback.
We do?
Yes. You didn't see it?
Get out of town. Let's play that sucker.
No, it's an email.
Let's read that sucker.
All right. It's long.
I can do it.
Oh, I think it's a voice. He left a voicemail too.
Hold on. See if I remember the password. Do 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 do. Hoo
yah! Yeah, it's what you think it is. Is that
I do not want to add a phone number.
No.
So, where's the skip button? All right, David, I finally got your voicemail downloaded. So let's listen to what you had to say, and then I'll read the rest of your email.
Hey, I'm calling for the Yip Yip podcast.
That's us.
This is just kind of a ramblings and feedback, so I hope this isn't like officially used in a future episode.
Oops.
But anyways, my name is David. I'm calling from Minnesota. I've been listening to your guys' show, but on top of that, I've recently discovered The Legend of Korra and Avatar: The Last Airbender. Usually, when I pick up a new show, I usually try to find a companion podcast to go along with it, and I've searched for several Avatar or Korra ones via iTunes, and Yip Yip is the best one that I've found.
Wow.
About two or three others that I've listened to. It's usually more youngsters, tweens and teens, and they just kind of ramble, seem to be a little ADHD and all over the place, and I really appreciate how you guys kind of...
Thank you,
David. You guys have a script and kind of go with the flow, but also try to stay on task, which is nice because I also appreciate the smaller bite-sized chunks.
I love the bite-sized chunks.
As far as time, like 20 to 30 minutes per episode.
Your voicemail is making this extra long.
I miss you guys because I was probably on episode 6 of the Avatar The Last Airbender for book 1, and I surpassed you guys.
I'm so sorry.
And now it's like, oh, I want more. Plus, I don't know. Either way, I just think you guys need to come back.
Thank you, David. We are coming back. And we appreciate the voicemail. And I hope you don't mind me playing it on the show.
Yeah. We do appreciate you. I kind of was in the same boat with you, David, trying to find that podcast that I thoroughly thought was compatible. I found a couple. Some kind of use, you know, very colorful adjectives more than I felt like was really necessary for a kid's show.
Yeah.
And from time to time, we might let one slip, but it's not near as bad as some of the others. And but we do appreciate you listening. And we should have one up probably either this weekend or by this coming week. And then there'll be some more rolling down the road.
Yes. We are recording this on the evening of the 22nd of June. It's been months since the last one, but the previous one we recorded with our guest, Robin Burge, will be out tonight.
Okay.
I pledge this. And if I don't, I'll edit this out. So we'll see if I'm true to my perhaps ephemeral word. But yeah, David, thank you very much for the positive feedback. And I just realized that you... your email says a lot of what you said, but I'm going to read it anyway, because I think that you deserve to have your email read.
Yes.
Hey guys, I just left a dumbass message on your phone line. It wasn't dumbass at all. It was actually great. Thank you very much for all the positivity and the feedback. And it cut off early. Sorry about that. Don't worry about that. That happens to a lot of people.
Yeah.
I recently was introduced to Legend of Korra by a friend and encouraged by others posting all the coronation stuff on Facebook. I've seen all episodes of Korra so far, 1 to 10, and love the show. Now, Jamie, you're watching that too, right?
Yes, I am.
And what are your non-spoilery opinion?
Freaking awesome.
Awesome. I can't wait.
And it started out kind of, for say, just like this direct, you know, first Avatar did.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, to me, this is a tad slow out of the block, but the quote, Steve Glosson, "Oh, my Lanta."
Mm-hmm.
It has surpassed, I mean, it just kicked it into overdrive.
That's
in
the awesome.
And tomorrow's the season 1 finale. It's cool. An hour long.
Wow. Well, that's awesome. I love the show. I too have just finished all of the first season, Water of Avatar, The Last Airbender, and love that as well. I don't watch too many TV shows, so for me to follow a program religiously says a lot. I myself am a martial artist. Ooh! I hope you didn't take offense to anything I said during your voicemail, David. I thoroughly apologize, and please don't look for where I live. And I have studied several styles of Kung Fu over the years. I think that helps me appreciate Avatar Korra on a different level. I'd imagine so. I've never studied a martial art. Not even fencing.
That neither.
I've listened to a few Avatar podcasts via iTunes. And I have to say, Yip Yip is the best. Aw. You said that in your voicemail, too. I figured I'd just repeat it so people can hear it. Most of the ones I heard were too casual, unedited, nonchalant, and ADHD. They also had too many co-hosts. I think 2 to 3 is a good number. You guys have a good flow and a perfect mixture of veteran and newbie. One small gripe I have is that your mic levels are off pretty bad sometimes. Oh, that's interesting. One time Illyria was fairly quiet, so I turned up the volume, and then Jamie came in, and it almost blew out my eardrums. Oh, I'll see if I can fix that, David. I've actually recently upped my audio levels, so we should both be at the same level now. Sorry if you actually did hurt your eardrum there. I'm guessing you guys have gotten pretty wrapped up in The Legend of Korra. Actually, I haven't watched it because I think I should finish Avatar first. And a real-life stuff. Yeah, for me, it's the real-life stuff. And the fact that I do a couple of the podcasts and that work has been very busy, and that I have two kids under six.
Yes.
And that sometimes my wife works evenings. So finding time to record this podcast is quite difficult. And I'm blessed that Jamie is a very, very relaxed guy who has never put any pressure on me whatsoever to get my act together. So no, thank you, Jamie.
We both have multiple shows, and my other one, you know, that's a weekly deal. So, I mean, I'm flexible. I'm not going to ever be demanding, like, we got to do this now. We got to do it this week. I'm good. Thank you. I'm very flexible.
Awesome. So real life stuff kind of gets in the way, and it has been a really long time, and it's just something I have to just get off my butt about. And that was Ked, both of you, from recording. I completely understand. However, you guys should come back. I've even been a co-host on a couple of podcasts and would love to join you guys sometime. That'd be awesome, David.
Yes.
Send us an email with the episodes you might like to guest on. Also, I'm not a Twitter guy, but would love to see a Facebook group page for Yip Yip. Hey, I think I might create that tomorrow. That's a good idea. But after I publish the one I haven't published yet. Hey, haven't published in months. Here's a Facebook group. Bye. thank you, David, for the email. We really appreciate it. And yes, I decided to play your voicemail anyway because we had voicemail. It was the only voicemail we had. So I had to play it. I hope you understand. We were too excited. All right. Next time is going to be awesome. Jamie, thank you once again.
Oh, you're welcome.
And folks, you know, until next time, enjoy your time. Yep. Bye.
Bye, y'all.